Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys, episode 151. We got a lot to talk about today. We got to talk about the big fight card this weekend with the trilogy between Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic. Sean O'Malley taking on Brandon Vera. We got JDS taking on Rozenstruik. It's a nice little card they put together for this weekend for this trilogy fight. A lot of title ramifications down the road with this card. But I want to jump into something real quick after I get my man Keys on. What's up, Keys? What's cracking,
bro? Yeah, I'm here, man.
What up, baby? All right, that's what's up. Man, it came out earlier this week, man, that Paige VanZant signed with BKC, man, Bare Knuckle Championships. I was actually blown away by her decision to do this. What were your initial thoughts on it?
So I was kind of surprised because, I mean, Bare Knuckle is not MMA. You know, they're just boxing with no gloves on. So it's strictly boxing. So I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I don't know where her boxing is at these days, but, you know, individually, aside from, you know, her other skill sets, because, like, MMA trains obviously more disciplines, but I was surprised because I didn't think that she would really want, I don't know, I wouldn't have thought that that would be where she would go. I mean, especially because her husband is signed to Bellator. I mean, I don't know. I would have thought she would have went to Bellator. You know, I'm really, really surprised that she went to Bare Knuckle. When I first saw that was in the works, you know, when it was just a rumor before it actually came out official, I didn't believe it. I really didn't believe it. I was like, man, there's no way that Paige VanZant wants the Bare Knuckle box. Like, I just would not think that she would be interested in doing that. You know, I really would not have pictured her wanting to go there. But I don't know. I mean, I guess that's my thought. It's cool because supposedly she's going to make good money on it, and she'll definitely be making more money, you know, definitely making a lot more money than she was making in the UFC, which is kind of sad if you think about it. But, yeah, I guess that's my thought. I'm surprised, but good for her, I guess.
I was shocked because when I look at her, when I watch her fights, she's tough. She's very tough. But she just don't strike me as the type of fighter that can take a blow, if you know what I mean. Especially with what they fight with there. I just don't see her being very she might shock me, though, because every time you try to count her out, she just does something to be like, you just be like, wow, she did that. But I was really shocked. I was hoping that she would maybe go to Bellator, but my strongest belief was that she was going to go to ONE Championship. I thought that would have been a better fit for her, and especially as far as, you know, with her fan base and her fan appeal, I thought ONE would have been a better fit for her. But I don't know. I guess we got to wait till she provides us with a little bit more info on why she chose BKC instead of a true MMA company. But like you said, maybe it's about the money, man. You know, it's a shame that Bare Knuckles can pay her more than what the UFC pays her. But at the same time, I don't think Dana White was going to bring her back anyway because he basically said she should go out and test free agents. So when he said that, I was like, yeah, she good as gone.
I mean, that's what I was saying earlier, too, is that it's very sad that the UFC you know, I put out a tweet earlier today, and I was like, how crazy is it that the biggest, and we are not going to debate this. I mean, I know me and you aren't going to debate this, and we would not be the group of people that would debate this. But I know some other people would try to come out and debate this, and we are not going to debate this because this is a fact. The biggest MMA outlet, organization, whatever you want to call it, in the world, okay, not in North America, in the world, the UFC, right? The only one that anybody even knows about, okay? Every time you talk about an MMA fight or anything that's not boxing, people just call it UFC. That's how prominent UFC is. So, and we're talking about that level of prominence. That MMA outlet is paying their fighters $50,000 to fight. And a lot of them are making a lot less than that. So that's just like a median. That's like a median number that I just threw out there, you know, for an example. But that outlet, the biggest one in the world, is paying their fighters $50,000 to fight. But this still relatively unknown bare knuckle fighting championship just came on the scene within the past like 2 or 3 years. Hasn't even really established themselves as like a big organization. And they're able to offer Patreon Zant a $3 million contract? What? Man, we must be in the reverse dimension. There's got to be the reverse dimension. I am lost. I don't understand it. The UFC, a multi-billion dollar company, bare knuckle championship, which has had like one or two events that anybody gave a shit about, isn't even established. And how are they able to offer you a multi-million dollar deal? I just don't know. It's baffling to me.
It just goes back, man, to and whenever you say anything about a union, people, the first thing they think about is strikes. It's like, no, unions are meant to protect the employees. Sometimes the only way you protect the employees is by striking. But the UFC, Keys, I think they don't respect their asset, which is their fighters. I think more fighters, they respect some fighters more than they respect others. And sometimes, you know, that's the way it is. Like, of course they're going to get Conor some say because Conor brings their numbers. But at the same time, they wouldn't give Demetrius Johnson the same respect they would get Conor McGregor. And Demetrius Johnson was one of their best fighters and probably one of your fighters that never, ever got in trouble. All around good guy. And they never put the hits to him. They put the hits to Ronda Rousey. But they refused to put the hits to Amanda Nunes. It's like, what did Amanda do that's so bad outside of that she beat Ronda Rousey? And whether it's because of sexuality? Come on, man. We live in a world where sexuality now is just like a thing that it's either something that you accept or something you don't accept, but it's something that's not going away. But I just don't understand, man, why they refuse to pay their fighters, man. It's like, you are a billion dollar company. Dana White is worth more than $500 million himself. And you just got that big-ass contract from ESPN. Why can't you come up with a pay scale that's suitable for your fighters? Why is it that your fighters have to threaten to be released or walk away or retire for you to finally go back to the drawing board and pay them what they do? A lot of people can say what they want, but I know that's why Henry Cejudo retired, because of the money. That's why John Jones has not agreed to fight Jan Blachowicz, because of money. DC said he wasn't going to fight Derek Lewis the first time because the money situation wasn't right. And I was like, and DC is a company man. So, you know, if DC complaining about it, there's something really wrong. But I'm with you, Keys, man. Something is really wrong with this picture. And And if it's Zuffa just trying to keep all the money to themselves, then you could best believe that at the end of every cook fighter's contract, they're going to seek to go somewhere else, man.
Yeah. I think one thing two thoughts I have about that. I mean, we've talked about fighter pay so many times in the show, so, and I know if we go into it, it's going to end up spiraling into, a longer time than we may want. But I do have two things to bring up, in terms of that. One's about your boy John Jones, something that I heard today. And then the other one is about the fact that Bare Knuckle Championship has a big opportunity here, being that Paige VanZant is actually a star. She's actually a name that she has enough power that where now that you're bringing her over to your brand, they could make her almost the face of their company and, bring her over there and have her win, a couple fights, and you can really market her and really, I mean, because in the UFC, it's like I feel like the UFC tried to get behind her, but she was just kind of inconsistent with her wins and losses. And I think that was why they didn't get behind her more, because I feel like they definitely pushed her they definitely got behind her in many different ways to get her name out and to market her and try to put her in position, but she was just too inconsistent with her wins and losses, and I think that's why she didn't get as big as she could have been. If she had went on like a 5-fight win streak or something and fought for the title, I mean, I think, and maybe even became a champion, and she would be even that much bigger today. But obviously that didn't happen. I didn't know that Bare Knuckle. Go ahead.
Remember, she stayed hurt too. She kept breaking her arm.
Yeah.
But she broke her arm two or three times.
She's had a lot of injuries too. That's definitely another thing to note too. She had a lot of trouble with injuries. So that's definitely that was big too. And with the inconsistencies, But one thing that I didn't know was that Rawlings, that used to be signed to the UFC, I didn't know that she signed to the Bare Knuckle Championship, and I guess she's their women's champion. Is that true?
She went over there right after her UFC contract was up. She signed with them right after
her
contract.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea that she was over there. Beck Rawlings is kind of hot, man. I always thought she was pretty hot. I mean, she'd sometimes be posting a couple pictures, and I'm like, hey, she kind of looks good to me. I don't know. Am I going to start watching Bare Knuckle Championship? I might got to tune in. See, I'm going to do get some Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship predictions going. Because Beck Rawlings might be my new favorite fighter.
Yeah, they got Autumn Lobov over there, too. He's fine with Bare Knuckle.
Autumn Lobov. Oh yeah.
Yeah, he fought Paulie Magnaggio, whatever his damn name is. He fought him.
I didn't know that she was their women's champion, and then I was reading the article and they pointed out how, they kind of alluded, they kind of foreshadowed like the possibility of Paige VanZant, fighting Beck Rawlings for their women's title, because, I mean, I didn't know Paige VanZant actually has a knockout win over Beck Rawlings from when they fought in the UFC. And if anybody who knows anything, then you know that when you have a win over a champion, especially when it's a knockout win, the UFC does like to try to get that rematch back and have the champion get that win back. So I definitely think Bare Knuckle will take a page out of the UFC's book. And if Paige VanZant comes over, I think they'll have her fight probably, two fights, maybe three fights at most. I don't know how many women they even have fighting over there, but you know, depending on that, maybe one or two fights, and then they'll have, you know, Beck Rawlings and Paige VanZant will fight for the women's title in a rematch. And I already know that's something that I could see. So definitely a move that they can make, and they have a big opportunity here with signing her. That's a very big chess move for them as a company. So hopefully they actually have the millions of dollars that they're putting up, because I don't know, man, it's kind of shaky to be a company like that and be throwing out deals like that to one fighter. It seems kind of reckless, but I mean, hey, I'm not the businessman. We'll see if these guys can really back that talk up and put their money, you know, where their mouth is, because we'll just have to see.
Yeah, man. Actually, I want to say they was in like a financial bind for like their first couple of fight cards. They was in a financial bind, whereas I think some fighters didn't even fight. They wouldn't even fight until they got paid. So, hopefully they got that squared away. But only thing about Paige being the face of the company is that she has to go in there and win. She has to go win some fights. Because if she come in there and let's say she lose her first fight, basically she's starting off two steps behind. So basically she already behind the eight ball. So I think they will probably try to advertise her first fight as, you know, as her being the face of the company, but she can only do that by wins and losses. And throughout her MMA career, we knew that, well, we saw that she could never, like, really string together, like, a serious win streak that would consider her a force. So we'll see what happens, man. I wish her the best, but I just wish she would have won the one championship. I think she probably could have definitely been a great commodity to one over there, you know, especially if, because they got some good competition over there. So, we wish her the best of luck.
Yeah, man. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about is I saw some news. I think it's news. We'll see soon if it's news, but about John Jones, I guess Dana White had said that he has, you know, made calls to John Jones, and he had been trying to, you know, get in touch with John Jones about pushing the, you know, the division forward, you know, light heavyweight division, and see, you know, if he's still interested in fighting there or if he's going to move up to heavyweight. And I guess that, you know, he was waiting on a call back from Jones, and, you know, he said that if John Jones does want to stay at light heavyweight, then he needs to, you know, fight Dominic Reyes again. Otherwise, move up to heavyweight. And, you know, the Ngannou fight is definitely there. I mean, someone said on Twitter, they were like, they were saying if DC beats Stipe, and then if he beats Stipe and then retires like he claims, then you would have the division kind of like wide open, right? I mean, not necessarily wide open, but, I mean, Ngannou already beat Curtis Blaydes twice, and if you're asking me, I would say those two guys are like number one and two, regardless of who's there in the ranks. Those are the true number one and two contenders, and Ngannou's already beat him twice, so that title fight really doesn't make that much sense. And then, you know, Derek Lewis beat like the number 10 guy. I don't really think he's there for a title fight. I mean, he probably needs at least one more to get, you know, and plus their first fight kind of stunk anyways, you know, Ngannou and Lewis. So the top of the division is kind of weird right now with the contender. So you pretty much have a perfect opportunity for your boy to move up and fight Ngannou for the vacant belt. What do you think about that?
I think John is actually overplaying his hand right now. I know he's upset about the money situation, but the best way to get back into the good graces of the UFC, even if he's, I wouldn't even say the good graces of the UFC, I'll say the best way to go in there and prove your worth, go in there and win again. They can't deny you when you're winning. So let's just say if he does, I mean, I really don't want to see him fight Dominique Reyes. I'd rather see him fight Jan. That way we can say that he did fight all the top guys in this era right here. And he fought all the top guys in the previous era. He could be the only fighter that you could say beat all the top guys in two different eras. So I would rather him fight Jan and then, you know, prove his worth to the UFC. Look, man, I'm the most dominant guy y'all got here. You know, if you strip me for the belt, I'll come back and take it off the guy that wins it. You know, because that's probably what he would do. He'll probably come back and fight the winner, Jan Blachowicz and Dominique Reyes. Then whoever wins, he'll just come back and get the belt off of them. So I say he should just fight Jan and then see what happens in the heavyweight division. If Stipe wins, I wouldn't mind seeing John Jones versus Stipe. I wouldn't mind seeing that fight at all, even though I think Stipe's hands might be a little heavy for him. Although all them guys in heavyweight got heavy hands, so I don't know whether or not John Chin is built for heavyweight, but we'll see. But his skills, if he when he chooses to incorporate all his skills could be used at heavyweight, and he'll be very competitive. I just want him to you got to get back in there, John. I mean, I understand that you're pissed off with the UFC, especially with them saying that you asked for half of what Floyd made or half of what somebody made, Deontay Wilder, which he said he never asked for. He said he wanted half. He asked for half of that. So half of $15 million is what, $7.5 million? That's still a little steep. You'll never get that in the UFC. So, bro, you're overplaying your hand.
Great.
Yeah, you're overplaying your hand. Get back in there. Beat Jan. Then all the cards are in your debt, are in your favor, and the UFC might have to bend the knee and kiss the ring and probably give you a $1 million deal. So get back in there, man. That's all I can say. And whether or not I just don't think I just don't think if DC wins and he has the belt over, I don't see the UFC putting him and Ngannou in there. I probably see the UFC asking Stipe, does he want to get in there? And if Stipe says yes, they'll probably have Stipe versus Ngannou. And if Stipe says no, I think we get Alistair Overeem, man. I think we get Overeem in there for his long-awaited title shot in the UFC.
But if you remember, though, Overeem has had a title shot.
Who did he lose to?
He lost to Stipe. That was actually Stipe's first title defense right after he won the title.
I don't even remember that fight.
Yeah,
Stipe
I want to say
him
it was, they did knock him. He did. I want to say it was either it was like right after UFC 200. I want to say it was either the card after that, or either that or 202. It might have been UFC 203. It was like one of the first couple big cards after UFC 200, because I know it was that was shortly after he beat Verdum. So, yeah, he defended against Overeem. That was when Overeem was really, like, you know, at the top. He was still, you know, really prominent. And I didn't even know much about it. That was when I was first getting back in UFC. I didn't even know who these guys were. I looked at it on UFC.com, I looked at the tail of the tape from Miocic versus Overeem. I was like, oh my goodness gracious. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, look at this fight. These dudes look like monsters. You know, I was really reading the tail of the tape, and I was like, oh my goodness. I was looking at Overeem. I was like, this dude looks like a beast. I was like, this is nuts. You know, that was like one of the first fights when I came back to watch UFC, that was like 2014. I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, what have I been missing? You know what I mean? I was like, what? But yeah, Stipe won, I want to say, by TKO. It was either first or second round.
Yeah. I remember Overeem, I know he knocked him out. But I agree.
Overeem is right there, though. I do think Overeem is right there. You know, I think Overeem is closer to a title than Derek Lewis is right now.
Yeah, I think they might, because the Rosenstrike just lost to Ngannou, so he's not going to get in there. They're not going to get him a title shot. So I think you have to go Overeem, man. I mean, Would I mind seeing Lewis versus Nagano? Two, going off the first fight, no. But I think them two guys know how bad of a fight that was, that I think they were engaged in the second fight, and it could be an action-packed. It would be an action-packed fight. So would I sign up for it? Yes. Would my expectations for it be low after the first fight? I think my expectations would be right in the middle. So I would rather see Overeem, man. Get Overeem the shot. Let Lewis fight one more time. And then have Lewis fight Rozenstrike. And then if Rozenstrike beats JDS, have Rozenstrike and Lewis fight as a title eliminator. And then the winner goes in there, and we'll see how it goes. But look, we got a call in the queue. Let me jump them in real quick.
Word.
Yo, who this? You on with Lydia Keys tonight. How you doing?
How you doing, guys? It's Evan. How's it going?
What's up, trifecta?
Not too much. What are we talking about?
Man, you called just in time. We're about to get into UFC 252 predictions. You know, and we did talk about Paige VanZant going to Bare Knuckle. What you think about that?
I think that is a brilliant move on her part because it was the most unexpected. Because I'm sure everyone, you know, all of us here expected her to go to Bellator because it was going to be easy money, but no one expected her to go knock out her pretty face and risk getting, you know, scar tissue and just Jason Knight. But she's already said she's been making multi-millions with sponsorships and whatever else. So great move, and I can't wait for her to fight.
All right. I think you and Keith basically said the same thing. I was more on the level. I was shocked that she did it. I thought her and one championship was a match made in heaven. But we'll see what happens with Bare Knuckles. I just know she just has to win some fights. That's all I got to say. She has to win some fights, and we'll see what happens. But, hey, let's jump into 252. We got about 30 minutes left in the show, and we got a lot to cover. I'm going to just throw this question out there. They don't have no rhyme or reason, but which fighter are y'all looking forward to this weekend to see fight? Which fighter? Not which fight, which guy or girl are y'all looking forward to seeing fight this weekend? You first, Keys.
Okay, so does anybody have the card pulled up? Because I know I don't have my laptop handy. Could you, like, run through the card real quick? I mean, you don't have to do all of them, but, like, just, you know, a handful of the fights at least.
All right, we got John Dodson versus Beaver Shavili in the bantamweight division. We got Burns versus Pineda in the featherweight division. We got JDS versus Rozenstrike in the heavyweight division. We got Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera in the co-main event in the bantamweight division. And then we got the trilogy fight between DC and Stipe. And then the main event on the undercard is, I want to say it's Jim Miller versus Pichel. I don't know this guy, but he's 12-2. They're fighting at lightweight. Yeah, this is Jim Miller versus Vince Pichel. So yeah, that's the card.
All right, I'll just jump right into it. So honestly, I'm most excited to see Stipe. I'm most excited to see Stipe. I out of the whole card, like, the way he looked at weigh-ins, he looks real good to me. He looks real good. I mean, it is ironic that Cormier came in at, like, almost the same exact weight, as far as I know. They came in, like, only, you know, a couple pounds off from each other. I want to say Stipe came in at 233. Cormier came in at 236. I could be wrong.
Wow, that's
but,
right.
Yeah, and that was pretty crazy. They almost came in at the exact same weight. You know, you don't really see that happen often. But I'm always excited to see Stipe. You know, I think he looks great. He looks focused. He looks, you know, both of them look laser focused. But like you said, it's not which fight, it's which fighter. I'm really locked in to see Stipe because, you know, I watched their rematch, you know, the second fight. You know, I watched the sequel by myself. And I went to the bar, I watched it by myself. And it felt like it was such a good fight. Like, I remember I watched Nate Diaz versus Pettis. Well, I want to say it was the co-main event just before that. And that fight didn't really have me. I mean, I was locked in on it, but it didn't really get me going, you know, like they did. Then when Stipe come on, it was like, oh, my goodness. Like, that it was a great fight. It was a great fight. And that whole, you know, that the adjustments they made, you know, I want to say after the third round or when he came out in the fourth round and thought, you know, started going to the body. It was like, you only see that stuff in a movie, man. You only see that in a movie. That was like some Rocky stuff is what that was. That was like some Rocky material right there. So I'm always excited to see Stipe. Besides that, I mean, looking forward to watching Rozenstruik, you know, fight him and Junior Dos Santos. I'm looking forward to that fight overall, but for any one fighter, Stipe is definitely most excited for.
Who you got, Evan?
You know, for a specific fighter, I think I'm actually, this is probably a surprise, but I'm actually very interested to see how Merab, I don't know how to say his last name, he's fighting Jad Dodson. He's the opener of the pay-per-view.
Delisha Billy.
Yeah, something like that. I think that's, you know, that's a great fight for him. You know, he puts on a good pace. Dodson's very fast, one of the faster guys for the division. And I just think this is a great step up in competition for him. You know, I don't know Merab's record, so I'd have to go and look to see who he's fought. But, you know, I'm not sure. Yeah, I know he's fought a lot of unknown names. I hate to say that without looking, but I think this is going to be his biggest test. It has to be. And if he can pass this one with flying colors, and if O'Malley gets past Cheeto, I think that fight makes sense because after Sean fights, you know, he fights Cheeto, who's kind of like Cheeto's just a game fighter, all-around good fighter. So if Sean can pass this test, then the next thing is they're going to want Sean to fight a wrestler. Who's better than Merab? So I think Merab is my guy right now.
That's crazy. Great minds think alike. But I wasn't going with Merab. I was actually going towards Dodson because I think Dodson is a guy. It's very explosive, very fast. He can take a little bit of punishment in there. And I like watching his fights. But being that you took him, I'm going to go with Rozenstruik. I want to see how he looks coming off a loss. You know, sometimes guys, when they go on nice little win streaks, you know, they start smelling their own coffee. So I want to see how he looks coming off a loss, a devastating loss at that. So I want to see what he looks like, whether or not he made any changes to his game, whether or not he added anything to his game. But I'm looking forward to seeing Rozenstruik. So let's just jump into our predictions, man, because we got about 25 minutes left and we got like 5 fights to cover. So the first fight on the pay-per-view, John Dodson versus Devlishvili Merab. So Dodson is 22-11, used to fight at flyweight, fighting Merab, who's bantamweight. So who you got, Keys?
Honestly, I want to say I've definitely seen them. I've seen Merab fight before, but I really don't remember what he specializes in and what is really his thing, or what's his area. So it's hard for me to, you know, I don't like really, I mean, you might notice, but I don't really like to like call winners when I don't really not familiar with them, you know, cause it just, for me, it's like making a bet on somebody who you just don't know anything about. You know, it just seems very, you know, careless and uninspired, but, you know, Dodson hasn't looked great. You know, in his last, you know, 5 or 6 fights, he hasn't looked great to me. But I am more familiar with him, and I know what he does. So I'll go with Dodson by I'll go with Dodson by split decision.
All right, Evan.
I'm gonna go with Merab, but I'm only picking Merab if he. I'm picking him regardless, obviously. But I'm just interested to see if he can handle the speed of Dodson. That's what I'm really curious about. But I'm definitely taking Merab. I think he gets the victory, and we see a new contender in at bantamweight.
How does he win?
I think a decision. I think both of them are durable guys. You know, they're not guys that get finished. So. Even Peter Young couldn't finish Dodson, not to cut you off.
Yeah, but Keith, like you said, Dodson, he has lost three of his last five fights. But if you look at the guys he fought, Marlon Moraes, Pedro Munhoz, Jimmy Rivera, Peter Young, I think it's Nathan Wood. So he has been fighting top guys. He just hasn't gotten in shape. But he did beat Pedro Munhoz by split decision. I think I'm going with the upset, man. I think I'm going with Dodson in this one, man. I like John Dodson. I like what he brings to the table. He's a game guy. He's been in there against top-notch fighters. I think I'm going to take Dodson, man. I think he's going to come in there, use his speed, use his power, be in and out. And I think he probably even, you know, shoot for takedowns here and there to get Merab thinking. So I'm going with Dodson by split decision, man.
All right.
Next up.
All right. What's the next one?
Next up, we got Gilbert Burns' brother, who I think this is. I think this is Gilbert Burns' brother. He's fighting Herbert Burns. Is fighting Daniel Pineda. Pineda is 26-13. Burns is 11-2. Burns is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, and Pineda is a wrestler/Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter. So,
Lee,
hey,
Lee,
you want to kick?
Man, really?
Yeah,
you
want to
go first on this one?
I'll go first
because I don't know these dudes.
Go ahead, Evan.
I actually have seen Pineda fight before. I just don't remember when, but you know, obviously this fight got bumped up from the prelims because the Ion Kizibella fight got, he got COVID, so that had to get dropped. But I'm going Herbert Burns. Herbert Burns. I think he's going to get another submission win. He did miss weight, though, so we will see what happens. But I'll take Herbert Burns. I'll say submission, yeah.
Yeah, I think Pineda is going to be game for this fight. I think he's going to actually show up and be probably look better than he has in previous fights because of the level of competition. And plus, I think both of them got styles that's going to basically see which guy can dictate his style or his game plan on the other guy. So I think this is going to be a very underrated fight, but a very good fight. But I'm going to go with Burns, man. I think Burns wins by, a unanimous decision in this one. I think him and Pineda both go the distance. And don't be surprised if we see multiple submission attempts in this fight because of both of their styles. I think Pineda is going to be really, really game, man. I probably picked Pineda on my DraftKings, but I'm going to pick Gilbert Burns as far as this prediction of winning this fight. All right, well, let's go to the next fight because Keys really, he said he really don't know too much about Burns and Pineda, but I know he can kick us off with this one. We got Junior Dos Santos.
My bad to interrupt you. I was just putting out a tweet for the people to let them know that we had gotten underway with our, is this UFC 252?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, UFC 252 predictions. I was just trying to get that tweet out, let them know to call in for predictions. But yeah, I really didn't. I know. I don't even know either one of those two guys through a hole in the wall. So me making a prediction is kind of not valuable because I don't know anything.
That's why we jump into JDS versus Roses. Right, starting with you. Who you got?
Okay, so JDS versus Roses. All right, so the thing that I've been thinking about with this, right, is Rozenstrike got absolutely obliterated by Ngannou. It was so bad. But JDS also got obliterated by Ngannou. It was so bad. I guess we could look at which one of them got obliterated less. JDS, he got knocked out a little bit less severely. But both of them got absolutely ran through by Ngannou. Oh my God, both of them were just murder. They were just murderous KOs. But yeah, JDS, I would say, I would vote JDS has the better boxing than Rozenstrike, and I do think this is going to be a boxing fight. I'm getting kind of tired of using the word striking, but this is going to be a boxing fight. That's what's going to happen here. If either one of those guys were to shoot, I'd be really surprised because JDS knows he's very crisp with his boxing, and he has a guy like Rozenstrike who, you know, he plays it real slow and he likes to, you know, stay back and kind of pick his shots. But at the same time, like, it doesn't make him, you know, he's not a boring fighter. He does come forward, but he's very selective with what he throws. And I think JDS will welcome a guy like that, and he'll be, I think JDS will thrive in a fight like that. And, yeah, with that being said, I think I'm going to go with JDS. I think Rozenstrike's going to lose. He's going to lose. JDS been in so many more fights, so many five-round fights. I know this is a three-round fight, but it's still the experience. And I think JDS, right before he fought Ngannou, was on a tear, dominating guys left and right, and I think he's gonna get back to where he was. And at the same time, Rozenstrike was dominating guys too. But at the same time, when he fought Overeem, you know, I would say that he lost every round. I want to say I had him losing every round. I at least had him losing the majority of the rounds. Yeah, I can't remember that fight exactly, but I did have Overeem winning clearly up until he knocked out Overeem like within like 1 second left in the fight, which was a very, very lucky KO for Rozenstrike. He definitely, there was no way he was going to win that fight on the scorecards. I feel like he was down a significant amount. It probably would have been 50-47 or something like that. But yeah, I just feel like when he fought a guy of JDS's experience and veteran status, he was getting exposed. I mean, obviously he won the fight, but I think he will. Something similar to that effect will happen here, and I think JDS, you know, will shine here. I think JDS is going to win. It's going to be, I think it's, this one's going to be a decision too. I'm going to say unanimous decision, JDS, 50-48.
All right, Evan, who you got?
I got Biggie Boy, Rozenstrike. I think JDS is the days, you know, his glory days are behind him. I haven't liked his, you know, past performances. I'm trying to think of his last fight. I don't know if it was the Curtis fight, if that was the last one.
I'll look at
checking his record real fast. Yeah, he lost to Curtis, and then prior to that he was knocked out by Francis. But he did beat Lewis. But not a fan of JDS, you know, legend of the sport. I just think Biggie Boy is going to put his lights out. I think when JDS now, like, you know, as of late, when he just even gets hit, just damaged a little bit, it just kind of seems like he quits. And I know that's terrible to say because he's a former world champion, but, you know, things are different. So, yeah, I'm going to go Biggie Boy, first or second round knockout.
I like the way JDS looked. He looked really, really good. He's cut up. He's definitely cut up. But I'm with Evan on this one. I think his better days are behind him. I don't think he can take a punch as well as he used to. I think Rosa strike hurts him early, finishes him in the first round, and we still won't know whether or not Rosa strike has improved any, because we won't get a chance to see it because he's going to finish this fight fairly quickly. And I like Rosa strike to win this one by TKO in the first round. All right.
All right, Hold up. Let me get that down. Hold up. So Evan, you had Rosenstruck by first or second round TKO?
Yes, sir.
Lee, you had him by first round KO?
Yep.
Cool. And so, how much time we got left, by the way?
Hold on. 12 minutes. So, next up.
Okay, 12 minutes. Perfect. Co-main event. Great time for the co-main event. Kick us off, please.
Co-main event. We got Marlon Vera versus Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight. Let's start with you, Evan. Who you got?
You know, I want to be on the hype train of O'Malley. I think he's already proven his talents. He's gotten better, you know, since his days at the Contender Series and then since his last, you know, his fight against Andre Sukumtov. And then he looked great in the Quiñones fight, and then looked even better in the Eddie Wineland fight. But I think Cheeto is the most game, and obviously we all know this is toughest test to date. So I'm going to go Cheeto. I'm going to go Cheeto Vera. I think he's going to mix it up well. I think he's going to get a good takedown, and we're going to see some grappling. And I think he's going to submit Sean. I know this is a wild one, but I'm going to say probably first or second round.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, you
want
to go or you want me to go?
You can go. All
right. Off the rip, I'm with Evan on this one. I'm going with Cheeto, too. My thing is that I just feel like Sean O'Malley has looked good. But I feel like the UFC has been gifting him, like, fights they know he could win. You know what I mean? I feel like he's been he's gotten this run of fights in that, like, a lot of guys who have star potential get in, you know, and It's not very impressive to me. I mean, he's looked good, but it's just like when I really look at it, he hasn't fought anybody who's like notable. Like to me, he doesn't have any notable wins. And you know, he beat Eddie Wineland, which was obvious. Like we all knew he was gonna beat old man Wineland. Me and Lee both knew that on our show before. Obviously, he was gonna win. I feel like that was just like a squash match. Like there was no competition there whatsoever. Obviously, he was going to run through him. Eddie Wineland's been around for how many years? And even at that, I wasn't even impressed with the finish itself. The way that he, you know, people were comparing Sean O'Malley's knockout to Garbrandt's knockout on the same card, and I feel like that's completely delusional. Because if you really look at both knockouts, O'Malley had, I'm pretty sure, a straight right jab. And Garbrandt had a right hand from the depths of hell. So I'm confused about how those were even comparable. But, yeah, O'Malley had a straight right jab, and it was very, very basic of a finish. It wasn't anything crazy to me. And, of course, it landed because Wineland is, like, 90 years old. So I'm sorry, but that just – you don't get any stock on that win to me. And I'm sure they're going to show plenty of highlights of it before the fight tomorrow. But I don't know. That's a bogus one to me. I'm sorry. Sean O'Malley is good, but he hasn't fought anybody. And I just feel like Marlon Vera is the first, like, real opponent that he's had. And for a guy who just kind of, like, came into MMA, like, you know, what? I want to say O'Malley just started training MMA, like, a few years ago. I could be wrong on that. But for a guy who just recently came in and hasn't really fought anybody near this level, I think he's going to lose. And Marlon Vera, yeah, I'm going to go with I think O'Malley will put up a good fight. There'll be some striking exchanges, but Marlon's very game on the feet too. I don't think it's, you know, O'Malley's used to striking with guys that are a lot lower than him, you know, not guys that can possibly strike on par with him like Marlon Vera can. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a third round finish. I'm going to go with a submission too.
All right.
I'm going to say third round rear naked choke for Vera. That's what I'm going to say.
The craziest thing is my heart wants to pick Vera so bad. But my eyes, I'm going with Sugar Sean O'Malley, man. I think
man, he always
definitely
does it. He always do this.
I'm just saying, man. I'm going to give you my reason why. I think Vera is definitely, he's definitely going to be a true step up in competition for O'Malley. I think Vera is going to mix things up really, really well. He's probably going to show Sean some things that he's never seen inside the octagon. But I think O'Malley is going to show us some things against Vera that we probably took for granted in his previous fights. I think O'Malley's leg game, as far as his kicking, is going to be the difference maker in this fight. I think he's going to use his kicks to set up his striking. I think he's going to use his kicks to have Vera thinking more about the kicks than the punches. And that's when he's going to get him. He's probably going to fake a kick, hit him with a jab, and then he's going to go for the finish. But my only worry for O'Malley is this. He hasn't been out of the first round, I don't think, since he's returned back to the UFC. Maybe against Keone as he was out of the first round. I don't know. But I don't know if he's ready for a three-round fight. I think Vera is going to make him go three rounds. Vera is going to show him some things he ain't seen before. Vera is going to be really, really game. I think this fight has the potential to be fight of the night. And I think we are going to come back after this fight, and it's going to be one or two things being said. The first is Sean O'Malley is really good. Or two, Marlon Vera has been underappreciated. I think those are going to be the two things being said after this fight. I'm going to go with my eye test. And I'm going to go with Sean O'Malley getting his first win outside of a knockout via split decision against Marlon Vera. And we do our review show next week. There probably might be a controversial moment in this fight because both guys have definitely been doing a lot of trash talking. And I think Marlon Vera has definitely been, like, amped up for this fight since it was called off when O'Malley first got reinstated. And I think that's going to be something to look that we have to keep our eye on. But I'm going to go against you guys this time. We're going with Sean O'Malley to get the win via split decision. Now, we got the main event. After we make our predictions, I got a follow-up question. All right? After we make our predictions, I got a follow-up question. Starting with you, Evan. DC, Stipe, Trilogy, DC last fight, who you got? All right, Evan, get amped up, man. Damn. Get hyped.
All right, motherfucker. I'm sorry.
Get hyped.
So, I think DC. Excuse me. Take that back. Run it back. Rewind. I think Stipe. I genuinely think Spae's going to come in. He's going to push a pace. He's going to push the pace on DC. Obviously, he's got to worry about the threat of wrestling, which DC is going to, you know, he's going to push. You know, especially, you know, I want Stipe to win. I you know, all respect to DC. Been a fan of his since he, you know, since I saw him debut in the UFC and everything. But I just, I don't want him to win. I don't want him to win and, you know, just vacate the belt immediately. I'd rather Stipe retain, win the belt, go face Francis, go face John if he wants to, honestly, who cares. But prediction-wise, I think Stipe, honestly, he's looking lean, mean. You know, I think we're getting an early knockout out of Stipe. I really do. I'm not sure which round, but I think Stipe by knockout.
Evan, I think you might have just – I feel very heavily influenced right now by what Evan just laid out right there. I feel very, very moved. You know what I mean? I feel very – like the way he just shifted when he did that prediction, he was like, all right, I feel like Cormier. And he was like, oh, wait, no, I feel like Stipe. And then he just changed. Like that might have just happened in my mind too. That might have just been an elemental shift that just happened. But, yeah, because I want to say Cormier, right? Because, like, I was talking to a couple of my friends, and they were like, yo, Keys, who's going to win the fight? And I gave them, like, this big in-depth analysis, and I was like, yo, I really think it's anyone's fight. Like, I'm so torn on this fight. But I was like, make no mistake. Like, if you ask me, like, who is the better, like, overall MMA fighter, I would say Cormier with no hesitation. So take that as you will. But at the same time, Evan just really influenced me with what he just said right there, and I think I might have just lost. I think I might have just – my pick might have just changed, because what I was going to say was Cormier was just going to dominate the fight with his wrestling, and he was just going to keep away from the striking exchanges where Stipe really thrives. Even though we know Stipe does well in the wrestling too, you know, DC's wrestling is better. He's an Olympic wrestler. He's going to be better, you know. And I figured DC will just, you know, try to keep the fight on the ground and just dominate and maybe try to, like, grind out, like, a TKO, you know, in the third round or something like that. But Evan just really influenced me, and I really do want Stipe to win, too. At the same time, you know, I want Cormier to ride off into the sunset, you know, with the belt. I also don't want to see him just win the belt and then just vacate it, you know. I don't really want to see a vacant belt. Every time there's a vacant belt, it sits vacant for so long. So, you know, and I want to see Stipe as a champion. I'll never forget when I watched him absolutely dominate Ngannou live in Boston. You know, I'll never forget that. That's probably be one of the best memories, you know, of my entire life. But, yeah, not being what you just said, I'm going to go with Stipe too. I think Stipe in this fight, you know, he did say he learned a lot from, you know, the way he fought Cormier the second time. And I think, you know, he said he needs to go in there and fight his fight. He can't let the fight get away from him early on. So I think, you know, that's what's going to happen. He's going to have to push the pace and do what he does and do what he, you know, what it is that he did that made him, you know, the best heavyweight champion in history with the most consecutive title defenses. You know, he's going to have to push the pace, going to have to fight his fight, you know, do what he does on the feet, you know, stay away from, you know, the takedowns. You know, if he does go down, he does have, you know, he does have impressive wrestling. So it's not like he's a slouch there. And get through it and get back up. He can still throw shots to the body. You can't defend all the shots. So I'm going to go with Stipe too. I think Stipe is going to have – late third round knockout for Stipe.
All right. So we got Stipe by Evan. Stipe by Keys, and we have Lebo going with Daniel Cormier. I am going with Cormier because I think this is going to be one of them fights where the main event is going to be so disappointing, because Daniel Cormier is going to wrestle Stipe Miocic for 5 rounds. He's going to take him down for 5 rounds and manhunt him for 5 rounds. And walk out with the belt. It's going to be very uneventful fight with little action, because DC doesn't want that work. He doesn't want to feel Stipe hands again. If we go back to the first two fights, Stipe hurt DC in the first fight. In the first fight, DC poked him in the eyes numerous times. Right before he knocked him out, as my man Keys has pointed out before, he had poked him in the eye again, then knocked him out. But up to that point, Stipe dominated him on the feet. In the second fight, DC basically came out as the aggressor, but Stipe Corner made hell of adjustments during the fight. Something that made me proud, because I always say, what does a fighter do if his plan A doesn't work? And you saw Stipe in his corner make adjustments that worked, that led to a knockout victory. I don't think DC wants those hands. I don't think DC wants to be in a stand-up fight. So DC will go to his bread and butter, which is his wrestling. He would dominate the fight on the mat. We will all be booing at the end of the fight because of the style of fight DC chose to fight. But DC will be the new heavyweight champion. He'll lay the belt out and his gloves out in the middle of the ring, give a tearful speech and all this good stuff. And we move on to the next. I got DC winning by, I'm going to say a unanimous decision. I got DC winning the unanimous decision. No, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to say a unanimous decision. I think Stipe is game enough to win a round or two, but I'm going to say DC wins the fight via unanimous decision. Now, my follow-up question is this, fellas. If the winner of this fight, do they go down as the greatest heavyweight in history? Starting with you, Evan. Hello? Yo.
Hello.
Evan, you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My voice just went completely out. I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
All right. So does the winner of this fight go down as the greatest heavyweight in mixed martial arts history?
No. I'm just going to say no. But also, I'm going to be honest, I hate the GOAT conversation for any division. I absolutely despise it because it's just – it's basically a rhetorical question because everyone – there's too many people. You got DC as the – well, I understand you're talking about heavyweight GOAT, but everyone is – you know, there's always going to be the people that are going to keep Fedor in the conversation. And there's going to be those fans that believe since he never made it to the UFC and he was – most of his fights were all in Russia. He had the ones in Strikeforce. But I personally don't like that GOAT conversation. So probably not. And I think it's just because in general – I think there's always going to be another athlete because that, like, just for the, you know, for the argument, you have Fedor, who everyone thinks is a GOAT, but now you have Stipe and DC fighting for that title, but people are still always going to believe it's Fedor. So it's just, if you want to say, just for argument's sake, if you want to say UFC heavyweight GOAT, yes, I think this winner will be that GOAT. But as the whole argument, honestly, I have no idea.
You know what, Evan? I'm going to let you slide with that answer. Normally, we don't like to straddle the fence on Lee and King's Real Talk, but I'm going to let you slide with that answer because – and the only reason I'm going to let you slide with that answer is because when I get my answer, you will understand why. Keys,
mm-hmm.
Does the winner of this fight become the heavyweight GOAT in MMA history?
I mean, I want to say more for Stipe because DC really wasn't active in the UFC's heavyweight division. So, like, for me, I mean, my belief, I mean, I think a lot of people, I think partially yes for Cormier because a lot of people will, you know, will consider his, like, Strike Force, you know, heavyweight Grand Prix wins. You know, because that was pretty much his heavyweight run. And then prior to that, I mean, I don't know of his career that extensively, but I know a lot of people consider like all his heavyweight fights there. But I mean, in my opinion, like UFC is king. Like, you know, fighting the best guys is being the best guy, you know, to me. So, and I believe the best guys are in the UFC. You know, some people will say I'm wrong, but I don't care. So, I think more for Stipe. I think if Stipe wins, you know, he's going to be considered the greatest of all time. You have the most heavyweight, you know, consecutive title defenses. You've beaten everybody, you know, that they put in front of you. You're the only guy to ever, you know, make you ever completely dominate Francis Ngannou. I don't care how you say that he did it. He still did it, and no one's been able to do that since. Other guys have tried to wrestle him, and they got knocked out clean. So the only guy that's been able to make Ngannou look completely helpless in the octagon. So until someone else does that, then we can have that conversation then, but it might be a long time. And on top of that, beating Cormier twice, you know, would definitely put him as the, you know, greatest heavyweight ever. As for Cormier, I think, yes, a lot of people will say heavyweight GOAT, you know, because of his strike force. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think that would make him the heavyweight GOAT because he really wasn't active in the UFC's heavyweight division. He was more in the light heavyweight, and he came over and he fought Derek Lewis and he fought Stipe. I don't really think that's enough to put him there, but I still think Stipe would have more over him. But I think people would – I think it would make DC more in the overall GOAT conversation than he is right now, regardless of division. It would make him in the overall sense, you know, a lot more because he's not really mentioned a lot. Like, a lot of people mention, you know, GSP. They mention, you know, Spider Silva. You know, they mention even Khabib. They even mentioned seemingly more than DC, which is kind of asinine to me, but okay. You know, they mentioned John Jones, all these guys, and it's just like it's kind of crazy. Like, Cormier really doesn't get mentioned, but I think he will get mentioned more in the overall GOAT conversation if he beats Stipe here. As for heavyweight GOAT, in my opinion, no. But I do think some will still try to argue that, even if I believe it's invalid.
I think that if Stipe wins, people would never still look at him as the GOAT. I think if Stipe wins, everybody makes a case for Fedor Emelianenko because of his long win streak and all that good stuff. Because they, even if they didn't fight in the UFC, it's going to go back to what Evan said. People going to look at Fedor as the best of the best of the best, even though he never fought in the UFC. I'm one of those that tends to side with Keys on this. I think if you didn't fight in the UFC, then you didn't fight the best of the best. So, that being said, I think if DC wins, he goes down as the heavyweight GOAT. And the reason I say that is because DC has won the heavyweight belt in every organization that he's been in. He was a two-time, a two-belt holder in the UFC. And he will probably, and if he had two wins over Stipe, people would say Stipe, they're going to look at Stipe's record with the most consecutive title defenses and all that good stuff, and they're going to say, do what DC beat him twice. Me personally, I think the person that gets him, that's going to actually get the short end of the stick on this is going to be Stipe, because I feel that he has definitely beat the best of the best during this time and age in the UFC. But you can't sleep on Fedor, what he did fighting in Pride when he was fighting top guys back then. He had like a 23 fight win streak. I think it was like a 4 year, I think that 23 fight win streak was over 4 years or something like that. But people tend to lean towards fighters that fought in the UFC. Like, we look at Demetrius Johnson as the GOAT in flyweight. We can look at Amanda Nunes as the GOAT in women's fighting. We're going to look at John Jones as the GOAT at light heavyweight. People look at GSP as the GOAT in his weight division. So, that being said, I think Stipe has more to gain if he was to win against DC twice. It'll actually be him and John Jones that would give DC his only losses, I think. I think those would be his four losses, two against Jones and, well, actually one against Jones and two against Stipe. So I'm going to go with if DC wins, he goes down as the GOAT. If Stipe wins, he should be the GOAT, but I think people will put Fedor over Stipe. I don't know whether or not that's right or wrong, but I just think that's the way it goes. I think you'll probably have, if Stipe wins, you'll have Fedor, Stipe, DC. If DC wins, you'll have DC, Fedor, Stipe. That can be debatable down the road, but, you know, we'll see how this fight turns out this weekend, and maybe we'll talk about this again next week. But with that being said, UFC 252 Saturday, DC Stipe Trilogy fight, Sean O'Malley, Chito Vera, Rosa Strike, JDS, is going down Saturday, UFC 252. Keys, any last words?
No, I'm good. You know, I'm pumped for the fight tomorrow, buddy. Enjoy the fight. Stay safe. Drink a lot of beers for me. Drink a lot of whatever you drink it for me. Lee, drink a couple of Ciroc's for me. I'm going to be drinking a couple of Ciroc's for myself. So you don't even got to ask me to drink them for you. I'm going to be drinking them for you and for me. So that's just fine. And, yeah, everybody enjoy and live and smile and try to be happy and have a great weekend. That's all I got.
Evan, you got something to say to the people, bro?
You know, just like you said, man, just stay happy, stay healthy. You know, enjoy the world. Life's short. Just gotta be happy. We got a great card of fights tomorrow. Couldn't be more happy about that. You know, very excited. And, of course, thank you guys for having me on the show. And, yeah, can't wait for the next one.
Yo, we're closing out. UFC 252 is going down tomorrow. DC, Stipe, 3, the trilogy. I'm excited. Very excited.
I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped.
We're gonna have to get Evan to get his energy level. We're gonna have to learn how to get Evan to get his energy level up for these big fights. But you know, it's all good. It's all good. And actually, Keys, man, I'm actually having a Ciroc, the mango Ciroc right now. I'm toasting to you right now, bro.
Man.
But everybody have a good weekend, man. Enjoy the fights. Everybody enjoy the fights. Be safe. If you're going to a public place to watch the fight, mask up, you know, social distance. I'll probably be here at my house in my basement tomorrow watching the fight by myself. So that's where your boy will be at. That being said, everybody have a great weekend. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest every day. Tell somebody you love them. Have one good laugh every day. It's good for the soul. Lee and Keys, episode 151, signing out. And in closing, as always, continue you with the
peace.
Peace.
Stipe
round 3 KO.